Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Thank you for bringing us together again. Thank you for Tuesday night. We enjoy, we're grateful that we are able to come into your house. There are people who are not able to come to church and to go to church like they would want to. And therefore, we don't take it for granted that we are here. We give you praise for that. And we ask the Lord tonight, you will speak to our hearts, you affect our lives, and that you not allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. And somebody said, wow! Go around, tell one or two people, God bless you. It's good to see you tonight. And then you may be seated. Some people sat down very fast. They finished their two. That's right. You know, you should make friends in church, you know. You should be comfortable in church. Sinclair, I saw your video clip. You dance, pa. You should show me how you do that dance on. I saw your video clip on Facebook. You dance, pa. I said, hey, I know you could dance like that. You gotta show me how you do them things. Shalit, I don't know if you saw him, but he showed it. I too powerful. I should have saved it. Amen. Tonight I want to talk about heaven. I want to talk about heaven. I want to talk about heaven. Yeah. The home is heaven. It is one of the less spoken of places in our daily lives. We hardly talk about heaven because everybody wants to live. Everybody wants to stay here. Everybody wants to live long. Everybody wants to have something here on earth to make them feel good, to feel okay, and to show others that they have something. But I want to talk about heaven. As I want to talk about heaven tonight. Few Christians think about heaven. Many Christians don't even know about heaven. Many people don't care about heaven. When Jesus came, he came and he spoke and he taught extensively about heaven. You see, my father, the bishop, I've said many times, he said that if you will think of death, you will behave very, very differently. If you will begin to think about the day you die, if you think about dying now, then heaven will be a very important place for you, or maybe hell. You see, God, our Father, that we all love. Some of us we love him with our mouth. Some of us we love him with our problems. Oh, God is like a spare tire. Is that Odika? Wow, you look different. Good to see you. Well, many of us treat God like a spare tire. You only need him when your regular tire is not working. We treat God like a paracetamol. Once you don't have a headache, you don't have any issues with him. But once the headache comes, you look for the pill to take. Now, God, our Father, from time immemorial, God created the heavens and the earth. You see, the heavens and the earth and the creation of man came into the picture much more because of, I would say, because of what Satan did in heaven. You see, you should see God as somebody who, if you want to look at God as a person, you should see God as somebody who is always doing new things. Isn't it? The Bible says, behold, I make all things new. Isn't it? So when the devil was able to convince a third of the angels to rise in rebellion against God in heaven, and then the archangel Michael fought and threw the devil and his angels out of heaven, God, it was after that that God decided to create the heavens and the earth, and he decided to create man. So you see that creating man was as a result of an incident, or it took place after an incident. And therefore, you can conclude that the incident wasn't so nice for God. That's why he will move on to create other beings. Because if he was okay with the two-thirds that ended up staying in heaven, he would have just continued life like that. But as long as he created life, he created man, he created a woman, and he placed them in the garden, it tells you that he had intentions, he had plans, he had something that he had you know, drawn out. He had a blueprint. And I was Mr. Jordan, I was explaining this to on Wednesday, that it is always going to be, I think he said something, he asked me a question, I don't remember the question, but I remember the answer I gave him. I remember I answered that the devil will always want to make God's hand fall. That is what Christians must understand. That all the disappointments in Christianity and the Christian life, it is in no way making God proud at all. At all. Because you cannot connect God to all the confusion, all the disappointments, all the unexpected events and things that occur in the church and in the church world. And there are so many bad things that happens in the church. There are so many bad things that happens with pastors and with church leaders and with all sorts of people who profess to be Christians. It's not a nice thing. It's not pleasant when things like that happen. And it's not good. I mean, it's not good when you hear that a pastor this, a pastor that. If you're a pastor, you feel bad. Because when you go somewhere and the people see their pastor, they say, oh, another one of those people has come around here. And many people have fallen off and have become more hard becoming hard to God because of these kind of things. But the whole strategy and the whole plan is that the devil does not want God to be happy, doesn't want people to side and to be on the side of God. Because he knows that once people fall, people make these errors and make mistakes, other people will crucify them. Because the obvious thing to do when a Christian, a church leader, a pastor, a bishop, or a pope makes a mistake that you don't expect is for you to criticize it. That's the involuntary action. That is something that you don't even have to think of. It just comes. That's what we do. That's what we naturally will do. But you see, when we do that, we are actually supporting the devil to make God feel more bad. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. I said I'm preaching about heaven tonight. Heaven is nicer than your home. Heaven is more beautiful than your house. That your cockroach house, you can't compare it to heaven. You can't compare Guyana to heaven. You can't compare America to heaven. There's no place here on earth that can be compared to heaven where God lives. But I'm saying that before all of heaven and everything came into being, that there was something. You should understand the story behind heaven and behind hell and behind eternity and all the things that we are going to be confronted with. I'm saying that whenever, from the time that the devil rebelled against God, he vowed a vow to make the people that God has created disappoint God. So if you're a pastor, or you're a church leader, you have to always have a spare heart for disappointment. That heart you have in your heart, you have to divide it into compartments. One compartment must be disappointment compartment. You have to split the hard drive. Format it. Because disappointments, unexpected events, things you do not dream or expect for your people to do and in the church, it will happen. Now, if you have formatted your heart well, then when those things happen, even though you'll be disappointed, it doesn't get the best of you. So that it will not make you do certain things that will give Satan more the glory. I don't know if you're following what I'm trying to say. Because people don't really, it's just, people don't really love evil. If it's not something people love. Even if somebody does something wicked, in their quiet moments, they will tell you, they will acknowledge that what they did wasn't good. Especially if the person is also a Christian. Because all of us Christians, we know what is right from wrong. We know what God expects from all of us. So for a Christian to undergo or to go through some things that are not pleasant where the Christian faith is concerned, you'll have to be a little careful and a little gentle about it. Because the reaction will easily make Satan smile and laugh and have a party. And that's not what God wants. And that's what goes against God. That's why even in the Garden of Eden, the devil came. Why? Ask yourself, why did he not leave Eve alone? Why would he come to the garden and try and cause such a problem? To disturb the equilibrium. You know equilibrium? In the garden. Kevin, do you know equilibrium? You pass your exams on equilibrium? Yeah. Equilibrium is balance. Balance. There was a balance in the garden. Adam was there. Eve was there. Everything was moving smoothly. And then here he comes. And shakes the environment. And shakes it in the negative direction. God comes. And then look at the news he hears. It's not nice. And the Bible says he himself killed a lamb or killed a sheep and made clothes for them. God himself, when they discovered that they were naked, he was the one who covered their nakedness. Because if you don't cover your brother or your sister's nakedness, you give Satan more points. More points. And he wants to score more points against the devil. Against God, sorry. So we either help him to score more points against God. Or we say that, you know what? Okay, this thing, I don't mind. I don't care. It's all right. It's all right. Because I have a part of my heart that has been formatted for such situations. Yeah. No, you look at it. You look at it. Maybe you may not see things from where I am standing, but as a pastor, there's so many things happens in the church. So many things. The good, the bad, and the ugly. It is when people outside talk about the church, there's a lot of ignorance they talk about. Because if they were to be leaders of a church, they can't survive. They will not survive, I tell you. Because nobody takes this honor unto himself unless and except he's called by God, as was Aaron. God has to call you. He has to anoint you for disappointments and happenings to be able to stand. Now, So God created the heavens and the earth. Everything was okay. Placed man there. Man was having a good time. But he didn't even realize he was alone. And sometimes when you tell people to marry, they don't see why they should marry. That's the same thing Adam. Adam didn't realize he was alone. In fact, it's God who realized that this guy, he's alone and it's not good. If you are left with Adam, you would have been there eating tennis rope for the rest of his life. Jumping around like there's no life. So God had to bring some sanity into his life and brought a woman. Which is another ministry altogether. Ministry of womanship. And then the devil destroyed the equilibrium in the garden. So the original plan of God creating an atmosphere where he will have fellowship with his children, with his people. God, after Satan destroyed the equilibrium, the balance, God decided to bring things back to its original state. Because if he doesn't do that, then Satan wins. And if you understand what I'm trying to say. If he does not restore things, then it means that Satan has come inside to change the course of things. He has come to change his plans. He has come to alter what God actually had put in place. So God set up a plan from the time Adam and Eve sinned to bring his people back together with him in one place. Because in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says Adam was actually the only man recorded in the history of mankind who saw God face to face. Who used to sit down and have breakfast with God. He was the only one before the fall. In fact, one day when Moses said that he wanted to see God, God said, if you see me, you will die. Because after man sinned, then man entered into a state where if God shows himself, the difference is so big that the difference, the exposure of God to mankind will actually affect man in a negative way. Because in heaven, there are no lights. God is the light of heaven. Yeah. There's no GPL in heaven. Prince, you will not have no board of directors in heaven. Because in heaven, the owner of heaven, the one who created heaven, his nature is light. And he's there forever. And as he's there, there's light all over. The Bible says God is light. And in him there's no darkness at all. So God set a plan in place to bring us all back, to regroup us back into a place called heaven. A place where what he had intended in the beginning, the fellowship, the relationship, the peace, the joy, the provision. Today some guy came to my house, I don't know, they're selling some meal, some healthy meal, something that they are selling. I don't know whether they've come to your house already. They came, some three guys. They said, well, some healthy meal. They want to show me how to cook healthy meal and something, 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 something. And then something, and you know your food is healthy and all of that. You know, I was listening. And then he said something that was very interesting. He said that, you know, he doesn't think that when God created the heavens and the earth, he also created a pharmacy. That when you are not feeling well, you go and buy medicine. Because he said everything was in the food. That's why medicine really is extracts. You know, it's plants. If you look at our old people, our old mothers, Amerindians, all these old people, they have bush. They call something bush. You see, bush is far better than all the things they sell at the pharmacy. Bush. Once you drink bush, you will feel good. Yeah, my mother used to purge us now and then, clean us up. He would put some spices in a bentwa, you know bentwa? And you inject it into your anal cavity. And release it. Spices. ginger, all kinds of things. When it goes into you, you see, when it goes up, everything comes down. You'll be cleaned, I tell you. Yeah, you get a clean out, nice clean out. You don't need no tablet. You don't have to go to the drugstore anywhere. Just some things you just, you know, mash it up on a stone and things like that and put some water, put it in that thing. Hey, Bentua. Anytime we see Bentua, we run. Because once Bentua comes close to you, you must be ready to spend at least a few hours in the toilet. Because things must come down. What goes up when the rain comes down? Gravity. Are you there? So I found it very interesting because indeed, when God created the heavens and the earth and he placed man in the garden, there was no pharmacy shop. There's no pharmacy in heaven. There's no Guyana water in heaven. There is no time. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, there's nothing like that in heaven. A pastor said when he was a young boy, he was taken to heaven. He says the grass, do you know there are animals in heaven? Did you know? Oh, there are animals in heaven. The pastor said the grass in heaven. He says when you step on the grass and you take your leg off the grass shoots up like a human being. Everything is alive. You cannot touch a grass and the grass will lie down. You see how it happens here on earth? If you have a nice lawn and then somebody comes, the cows, they come and they step in, they make marks and it takes a while for the marks to be restored. He said in heaven, every blade, not a blade of grass. Is that what we say? He said, every blade. I mean, the moment you step on it, once you take off your shoes, it pops up back into its original position because nothing is imperfect in heaven. There's nothing like, this switch is not working. That tap, when you turn on the tap, there's no water flowing. There's nothing like that. Heaven is a perfect place. That's where God wants us to come to. I said, God wants us to come to heaven. Now, it's just sad that many people don't want to go to heaven indirectly. There's nobody who will say, oh, heaven, yeah, heaven my foot. No, everybody wants to go to a better place. I mean, even here on earth, you see human beings running around, going through all kinds of things to be able to go to a better place. And many people, I'm sure there are some of you here, you're waiting for your American visa to go. As I'm standing here preaching to you, you are waiting. Some of you won't even say bye-bye. Some of you politely come and say, oh, Reverend, God is a good God. God is a, Reverend, the God you've been preaching about, he's indeed a good God. I say, oh, what happens? Oh, I got true. You getting true? And I'm going. The other day, somebody sent me a message from America. A person said, Reverend, when you preach, we don't believe it. Until it happens to us. I said, yes, sir, preach the sermon again. You never believe it. You never believe it. That's one of the things we say. You say, no, I want to experience it for myself. It's not everything you have to experience for yourself. Especially the things that somebody has experienced and they can share their experience with you. You should not go through, especially if it's a bad experience. So heaven is something God, I don't know why God asked me to talk about heaven. It's a nice subject, but it's also a little of a bittersweet. It's because even though Christians die and go to heaven, we don't rejoice when people die as Christians. It's almost as if it's a loss. Something bad has happened. That a Christian is dead. If you rejoice, somebody will say, "What wrong with he?" I mean, I like the way Guyanese do it. We wear short dresses. Breast showing. And then we go to, we lime. Ghana is one of the few countries where cemetery drinking is a very common thing. No, you see, cemeteries are not nice places. So to even eat or drink around a cemetery, there's something wrong about that. Something wrong about that. But you see people park their cars on cemetery road. And that's where some girls have come with their latest black dress. Short as possible. Little black dress. 1 yard black dress. Or half yard. And dress up. With thick goggles. You know goggles? Welding goggles. Welding goggles. Reach out. And then stand outside. And people will open their vehicles there, and they'll put on music. Oh, I mean, it's a very nice place. When people die, we really rejoice. Because where I come from, where I was born, the closer you are to the person who is dead, the more haphazard you dress. Should I explain it? You know, sackcloth? When the person who's dead is closer to you, even shoes, you don't wear some. Some people don't wear, they don't wear anything. No earrings, no face powder. I mean, when you see them, you see that, oh, something bad happened to she. Not this. And the people will start singing. They're singing. And then the girls are right in front of the boys, right here on the car like that. And then the girl is right in front of them like that. And then somebody dead. It's real heaven. The people are rejoicing because the people are going to heaven. So even though heaven is one of the best places ever, a preacher said, who also was taken to heaven for a little while, he came down, he said that he would not advise any family to cry for any Christian who dies. He said he would rather advise that you rather think about yourself and where you are still living your life. You should think about yourself, how you are still in Guyana, how things are working. You should rather praise the Lord, please, can you fast track my day of death? Because I want to end this suffering. I want to end this punishment. I want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. Sitting at your table. And surrounded by your glory. You don't even understand what it means to be in the presence of the Lord. I'm talking about heaven tonight. What is heaven? Heaven is a place designed and built by God for Christians. It's a place designed and built by God for Christians. for Christians. You know, in the olden days, the Christians rather, you see, we the Pentecostals and the Evangelicals came to make those Christians feel like they were making a mistake, because they were always living their lives as if they were going to die tomorrow. They were the ones who would sing songs like, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through." What is it? Wait, what? "The treasures I lay down somewhere beyond the blue." Now, if you go and sing a song like that, people say, "Hey, what's wrong with you?" You know the song we want now? "I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I'm walking in miracles. I live a life of favor. I know who I am." This one, now double. Now double. Anointing, now double. Blessings, now double. We want to live here and feel heaven. God is not going to bring heaven here on earth. If you want heaven, you should want to go there. God has created a place for you and I. Now, what we must do is, but we must long for the place. We must expect the place. We must look towards the place. As we live here on earth, our vision and our dream must be heaven. Home is heaven. We should not be concerned about the things that are happening here. We must be concerned about heaven. Heaven must drive our lives on a daily basis. But unfortunately, it's not so. Because we are always looking for a place that can offer us some benefits. If it is moving from one ghetto to another ghetto that will offer you benefits, that's what we want. If it's moving from one country to the other that will offer you some extra benefits, that's what we want. We are never mindful, including Christians. Never mindful that if I am ever to leave Guyana, the only place I want to go is heaven. People don't talk like that. Anita, people don't talk like that. If you talk that like, people say, you mad? You look at the songs they compose in those days and compare those songs to the songs that are composed now. I am a pilgrim here on earth. Today, they say, "Get all you can and can all you can get. Only to leave it behind one day." You try and see. I give you 3 score and 10. After that, you're on autopilot. Autopilot. And let's see whether all the things we have gotten and we have canned, whether we can take them with us. Then you realize at the end of that journey, then you feel more guilty of going to heaven, because you know that you are not prepared to go. You know that you did not make heaven your priority. And therefore, to face the one who is in heaven and the one who stands at the gate of heaven, to face that person. Hey, the story of a black man. Did you hear the story of that black man? Is it American, the Asian, the European, and African? They went to heaven. And God asked the Asian, "Why should I allow you into this beautiful place?" And then the Asian said, "Oh, you know, we Chinese and we Koreans, we make things cheap for all everybody in the world. We make Chinese things. Samsung TV, LG, Nokia, Blue, all these things. We made humanity, we make human beings enjoy." Then God said, "For truth, all right, open the gate for him." So the Asian came into heaven. Then he asked the American, "Why should I allow you to heaven?" He said, "Oh, you know, we Americans. A land of the what? The brave, home of the free. Democracy, one of the highest democratic systems in the world. We Americans. Justice, the world police. Everywhere there's fight, we go there." He brought peace on earth. And God said, "Okay, hey, Americans, okay. come. Then he was left with the Europeans. Oh, we also made cars. Nice vehicles, Mercedes-Benz. Black man walking, BMW. All the nice things. Europeans, we built aeroplanes. And God said, okay, come into heaven. Then he goes to the African. He has African. Why should I allow you into heaven? You know what the African said? He said, I am holding their bags. I am holding their luggage. I didn't expect that I have to say some things and be allowed into a place like this. I wasn't expecting anything. I'm just holding their bags. I am the horse cart owner. I have the bags of the horse cart. That's how it's going to be. If you and I don't take care, you will stand in heaven one day and it will look very funny. It will feel very funny. Because it's not something that you really desired. It wasn't something you really look forward to. Like all the things that we get here on earth, when you get a job, when you get a raise, when you get some money, when you get a husband, when you get a wife, when something nice happens to you, you get a vehicle, and how you drive, you know, those things, the way we enthusiastically embrace these new things, if we don't take it as Christians, when heaven comes, if you tell God, why didn't you tell me you were coming? I would have prepared, because you are not ready. That's why Jesus said, my coming will be as a thief in the night. I'll never forget the Tom and Jerry I watched. The Tom and Jerry, when Tom and Jerry were going to heaven. It's on YouTube. I'm sure you can watch it. Tom and Jerry. Tom, the cat, was in a line. And there was an angel at the gate of heaven. When you get there, you mention your name. He goes through the book of life. And he checks your report and see if you have a good report. If you don't have a good report, then he sends you back. So everybody came, their reports were good. He sent them through. Lo and behold, Tom, the cat. He gets there. He looks for his name. And then he sees the image of Jerry comes up. How he has been treating Jerry. And the angel tells him, go back. Go back. Then Tom begins to beg. And then he shows Tom an image of hell. And Tom says, all right, I'll go back. Then he goes back. Then he wakes up in the morning. He takes milk. He goes and puts it right in front of Jerry. And Jerry will kick it. He goes and buy cheese. And he'll put it there. And Jerry will kick it. And then Tom will get angry. And he'll take something as he's going to hit him. Then you see the angel right in front of him. Then you put the thing down. A place designed and built by God for Christians. There's nothing like when you are going to be moved from a house that is not nice to a new house. There's nobody, except you are infected or infested with demons, there's nobody who will want to stay in garbage and rubbish and ghetto when you are given the opportunity to move into a very nice place. Sometimes, I don't know how it's done sometimes here, but you see, there are some areas, rich areas, you wish you had a friend living in the rich area. So, even though they are not expecting you, you go on a visit. When you go on a visit, they are there. You don't want to leave. Because you want people to know that you also know somebody in Bel Air. Because where you tread, where you play, where you display, is a ghetto. It's like that. When you used to go to school, your friend is normally, you. Some people will take friends who are from rich families. Friends who can have access to vehicles. So that when they, at least when you can't drive, but you sit in the front. Even the back seat, you are even okay with it. Friends who know people. Those are the things we always want to associate ourselves with. So it is very interesting and it's very unfortunate that God is building and is preparing a place for you and I, a place that is so immaculate, yet. When the government say they are building a scheme, turnkey, Providence, farm, Hesterling, diamond, perfect harmony. People are rushing for house lots. God has designed and built a place for Christians. Where is the rush for the house lots in heaven? I'm preaching about heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. You see, if you think about heaven, nobody will offend you. I know. Because if somebody offends you, you are afraid that when you stand, you'll be like Tom, Tom, when they say, go back. You don't want the records in the book of life to be affected by any behavior. For we know. You see? It's even a Guyanese word I like. Sometimes I get offended when people use it. But this is real Guyanese Bible, I tell you. When you correct a Guyanese, what you hear is that, I know. Then I say, if you know, why am I correcting you? You don't correct people about things they know. So you actually don't know. You are just too proud to admit that you are wrong. For we know. You see, and when you talk about knowing, it is something that nobody can take away from you. It's something that you personally, you have witnessed, you have testified. And it's not something that is imaginary or anything. For we know that if our earthly house, this body, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, if we are placed in La Repentaire, if we are placed, if we go through a cremation, if this earthly house is dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So even if there's a fight for this one, you don't care because there's a better one. If somebody is fighting you for something that is not so important to you, you let it go. That is why they advise that if a pickpocket, if a bandit, if he's a thief, approaches you for your cell phone or anything, please give it to them. It's okay. Because your life is more precious than the phone. As for phone, you can get one to buy tomorrow. So once you have something that is not so valuable and somebody is coming for it, you don't shake, you don't move. Is this what you want? Take it and go. You need it. That's why Jesus said, do not be afraid of the one who cannot kill the body and the soul. Be afraid rather of the one who can kill the body and then put the soul in destruction and in hell as well. God is the one you should be afraid of. We have a house not made with hands. Eternal in the heavens. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10. I'm preaching about heaven. I pray tonight you have visions of heaven. Oh, I say you will have visions of heaven. Yeah, I'm waiting for testimonies and experiences, heavenly experiences. The Bible says, when Stephen was being stoned to death, it's one of the things, the ways you can you don't want to die, is to be stoned to death. Death, it's better when you die fast. This slow death is not nice at all. Slow death is not nice. That's why the white people have designed a new system they call euthanasia. That's what you think, friends. That when they are suffering in the hospital and they can't bear it anymore, that they can give the doctors permission to give them an injection that will just take them away. It started in Holland. It's a very normal thing. So if you're in pain in the hospital and you know you will die, but death is not coming, they can help you with an injection. And then you just sleep and then that's it. Yeah. For he looked. What's verse 9? What does verse 9 say? Who looked? We want to see who looked. 8. Who's that? We want to see who. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whether he went. You see, and faith is also very, very much linked to heaven if you want to receive it. Because Abraham was comfortable in a certain environment. And then he hears a voice. God speaks to him and says, you know what? Go somewhere. He knows that the go somewhere is a better place. So he doesn't get stuck with. Like if I approach you and say, you should go to Bible school, you should be excited. You say, what? You are actually changing my state of life. You are moving me from that old, to a new level. Instead of saying that, I'll think about it. God said he should move. And he believed it. Because he knew that once God says, leave here and go somewhere, that place, even whether, if I know or not, is definitely a better place. Because it's God who's involved. Anything God is involved in is always a good thing. No matter how it will look. He said he obeyed and he went, not knowing where he went. Verse 9. We're closing. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Can you believe this? The land that he was promised. It's not where you put everything. You build mansions. But that same land, prince, that he was promised, the Bible says he lived in that same land as in a strange country. It doesn't make sense. You know what it means? In other words, it's like you're broke and then God blesses you with some amount of money. And then when you get the money, he says, no. But Ryan, take this. All of it is for you. You are blessed. Yeah, that's the thing. You have to process it whether you thinking straight. But that's what we're looking at here. The same thing, you see, and it's Abraham who is doing this, because Abraham is the same guy who didn't have a child, who got a child, and then was asked to give the child, and he obeyed. Because as long as God says something, it's always a better thing. So the Bible said that he was given, and many of us, when we get blessed, we settle in a blessing. Have you heard Bishop talk about this vision he had some time ago? When he started ministry, he had a vision, he had a dream. He was on the road. And he, all of a sudden, he came across gold, a heap of gold. And he said he was attracted to it, so he went there. And he said the Lord spoke to him and said, you know what? Don't worry about this. If you can continue on the journey, there is more than this ahead of you. Are you sure? Man, this is enough gold, you know. I mean, you have to believe God. You have to be a God lover to see. Is this one we have seen? The one you are telling me, I've not seen as yet. And this one, at least I've seen it. It's a heap of gold. And I know that this one, if I keep it, at least my life will be okay for the rest of my life. And then God says, no. In fact, God did not even tell him. He said, if you will continue on this road, this heap is a small heap. That's why Bishop has never made money his goal ever in his life and ministry. Because money is not it. Abraham lived in the land of promise. When you get a baby is the land of promise.
You must live, you have the baby as if you don't have the baby. Because when that thing that Abraham was promised, when he received it, he made it into nothing. Can we do that? Can we do that? Praise, can we do that? Can we get a lot of achievements and it will still be nothing to us? It's very difficult in this world to see people achieve things and still walk around normal and like nothing. People don't behave like that. Bible says he lived in that promise, in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. You have gotten a land in Pradoville too, and then you put up a tent there. I'm sure Jack Joe will come and say, hello. Here it's not allowed. Here we build mansions because we ain't going nowhere. You are not dying. But Abraham says, you know what? Even though I have Pradoville too, even though I have this fancy place, I will still live my life because this is not the end. The end is not here. Can we do that? Can we think about heaven? Lizzo, can we think about heaven? Can we see that this is not our life? Our life is somewhere. He dwelled in tents, tabernacles, with his two sons, Isaac and Jacob, the heirs, those who were going to inherit the land that he was building a tent on. Now, if you're a good father, your children have been shown to you as the inheritors of the blessing, and it's a tent you are still building? All of us, Brian, all of us, we try to make something, sometimes even for the sake of our children. So as for us, by no time, 10, 15, 20, 30 years will be gone. At least for the children, so that they also have a place to stay and, you know, something, something, something. That's what you do. But you see, what are we doing? We're actually creating a situation for the children to love this earth. We must die with nothing. Let the children study for themselves. So by everything I have, I sent it there already where I'm going. I shipped it. I shipped it to heaven. That's where I'm going to be forever. And that's where I'm concerned about. Not concerned about how lot here on earth. When I'm good, then you and your brother will come and fight about it in court. I ain't leaving you nothing. Verse 10. And that's where we're going to. For the Bible says that Abraham, he looked for a city. Which has foundations. Georgetown doesn't have any foundations. New York City doesn't have foundations. London doesn't have foundations. Paris doesn't have foundations. Rome doesn't have foundations. There's a place, there's a city. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a city. There's a city built by God, designed by God, that has foundations. Whose builder and maker is not the mayor and councilors of the city council. It's not the ministry of what? Social something. Prince, what are your people? What's the ministry of what? Social cohesion. Social bringing together. It's not a city. It's not a scheme designed by who is in charge of that place? Gaskin, Balkan, cohesion. Ali, Amna Ali. Correct for 10 points. We are not looking forward to go to places where Amna Ali has built. We are looking towards a city that has foundations. In other words, every city you know of doesn't have foundations. No matter how strong they look, no matter how attractive they look, there is what we call foundations that city doesn't have. Think about any city. New York. All God has to do is just blow a wind. Hey, all God has to do is just blow a wind.
the seawall here that we have there. All God has to do is just even here in Israel, says, Prince, you have to find a boat and run away somewhere.
There's no foundations. What is the foundation here on earth? That we are so much into the earth. When God himself has built a city. I'm looking forward to heaven, you know. Hey. And you must look forward to heaven. Next week we'll continue. In heaven, there's no tear. We don't cry in heaven. We cry in hell. Not heaven. So those who like crying, you have to change. Otherwise, you won't go to heaven. By nature, you should be given a place in hell because that's where people cry. You must change and so that you can go to heaven. Alicia Billy, you must change so that you go to heaven. Hallelujah. My time is up. Please stand. Heaven is designed and built by God. I don't know why I didn't come and preach about breakthroughs and miracles and blessings. God said, preach about heaven. Heaven. Home is heaven.
Into your courts.
Into your courts I run with praises flowing from my heart. And every day I wake, I'll sing your song. It's the anthem of my life.
Oh.
Into your courts I run with praises flowing. Sing your song is the anthem of my life. I want to spend my days in your presence, Lord. Bow before your throne. In the house of God is where I find my peace. It's where I find my home is heaven. One day, Lord, I will. In your court you find me, in worship at your feet. Hide me now, in the shadow of your wings. Where will be, where will be?
Home is heaven,
home is heaven. One day, Lord, I will. In your cause you find me, in worship at your feet. Hide me now, in the shadow of your wings. Where will be, where will be? Home is heaven, one day, Lord, I will. In your cause you find me, and worship at your feet. Hide me now, in the shadow of your wings. Where will be, where will be? Oh, one day, Lord, I. Into your court,
into your courts I run with praises
flowing from my heart. Come on, let's sing it together every day.
Every day I wake, I sing your song. It's the anthem of my life.
Every day I wake, I sing your song. It's the anthem of my life.
I wanna spend my days in your presence, Lord. Bow before your throne.
In the house of God is where I find my peace. It's where I find my home. It's heaven. One day, Lord, I will be in your courts
to find me, worship at your feet. I'll be there in the shadows of your wings. Where will we? Where will we?
Oh, oh, Miss Evan. One day, Lord,
I will live
in your courts to find me.
In your worship at your feet, I'll be down in the shadow of your wings. Where will be? Where will be?
Hallelujah. Let's pray. You know, whenever you talk about heaven, it's almost connected to death. The songs about heaven, they sing about it when people die. That's an error that has been created in our minds. When you sing in the sweet by and by, it's only at the funeral. In fact, if we sing it right now, you feel as if you're in a funeral. That's the way they are making heaven look so far from us. Father, tonight, thank you for speaking to us about heaven, our home. We've been out here for very, very long. If it was left with you, I know you would want us to come home today. But there are still so many children of yours out there who don't know you, who can't find their way home. You've given us a mandate to ensure that as we have been found, that we'll show others the way to God. Before we can even think of heaven, we must think of those that are lost. I pray that this will be a church that will constantly worry, constantly act, constantly action where lost souls are concerned. I thank you that we are not coming to heaven alone, but we are coming with our friends, our families, our relatives, and anyone who is connected to us. We don't want to stand in front of you that day and not be able to give account of why we are there, Lord. Help us. May our minds be on heaven so that our lives here on earth will get better, it will improve, and I will do the things you want us to do. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us tonight. In Jesus' name. You're here tonight. You don't know whether you will go to heaven or hell when you die. Pastor, please pray with me. I want heaven to be my home. I need Jesus. I want to be born again. If I die right now, I'm not sure whether I'll go to heaven or hell. If you're here like that, I want to pray with you. All you have to do is just show me your right hand up high. And I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. I want to go to heaven when I die. If you're here like that, while every eye is closed, every head is bowed, I want to ask you to just lift up your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. I want to feel comfortable with this heaven thing. I want heaven to be my home. I'm not sure if I die right now whether I'll go to heaven. Pastor, I want to be sure before I leave tonight. Get your right hand up high. God bless you. God bless you. You lifted up your right hand. I want to ask you to come to me. I want to pray for you. Come. From wherever you are standing, come to me. Come. Come, my friend. Come. Come. Clap for them as they come. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, clap for them as they come. Clap for them. Clap for them. People are giving their lives to Jesus. Heaven is a place. Heaven is our home. Heaven is the destination. Clap for them as they come. God bless you. God bless you. It's not about sugar. It's not about milk. It's not about house lot. It's not about anything. It's about heaven. It's about a place that God is building for his people and for his children. Come on. You want to join them? It's not too late. Come now. Come now.
Be down. Rid me, God, myself. I belong.
Close your eyes with me. Just close your eyes with me tonight. It takes a very, very simple prayer. And then you are saved. You are born again. And then heaven will have a record of your name from tonight. But the Bible says that before that happens, you must believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. From tonight, I confess Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and my Lord. And I know that my name is written in the book of life. Heaven is my home, and I am now a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.